May I speak in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I wonder what you think about when you hear the word justice. Scales, judges, courtrooms? Or do you think politics, fair share, principles of living together? Does it make your heart leap with joy at the thought of working for justice, of moving towards a better tomorrow? Or does your heart sink because working for justice can often feel like pushing water uphill? Justice as a concept can feel overwhelming, too big and slippery. It's not always clear what to do, how to do it, who to pursue it with. To pursue justice often means needing a vision for an ideal, for something to aim for, even though we know that ideals are often problematic because my ideal may not be yours, and human beings don't tend to do very well at creating ideal worlds. To think of justice can feel overwhelming because of the huge systems involved and the complexity of trying to discern how to act in a complex global world. But what if we start with a different question? What if I start with, I wonder what and who you think about when you hear the word injustice? If you're anything like me, instead of going to concepts and ideas, your mind might go to people and images. Discrimination, poverty, Black Lives Matter, homelessness, growth, wealth inequalities, reparation for transatlantic slavery, famine and war in Eritrea, survivors of abuse seeking redress, war in Ukraine, in Sudan, in the Middle East, refugees dying in the Mediterranean. Somehow, injustice almost always has a face and a story. Injustice is a reality, not just an idea. And it is a reality that often involves our participation, even if it is involuntary participation, because all of us are part of economic and political systems that foster the various types of injustices. We buy products that may be traded unfairly. We benefit from historic oppression. We elect politicians who make decisions with far-reaching consequences. In recent years, most of us here would have benefited from multiple chances to be vaccinated against COVID when many people in the world did not even get one. Injustice is something we're all embroiled in, whoever we are, however hard we try, simply because we're human. Therefore, to develop justice as a virtue is to deal with the reality of our humanity. It's not a choice, because we are, by definition, part of injustice. Now, it might sound depressing, but there is good news in there. The good news is that the fact that we struggle to do justice and that injustice has a face is not new. It's as old as humanity itself. That's why we need days to remember, like today. It's part of the oldest stories of human beings. And it's at the heart of the story of God and God's people. I'm an Old Testament scholar, and one of the things I love passionately about the Old Testament is its focus on justice. It's there in the law, in instructions on how to live, in the stories, in the rage of the prophets. But this focus isn't merely theoretical. It isn't dispassionate or disembodied or idealistic. It is rooted in a sober assessment of the human condition, the reality of injustice, and in a joyful, challenging, and overwhelming offer of God's grace and presence to work among us. To work for justice, in the Christian imagination, is something we do in ways that are human and embodied and real. And that means that there's a biblical strand of thinking about justice that tells us that it isn't an intellectual pursuit, nor is it an individual pursuit. It's a personal and communal vocation, a call to a different shape of life together, which we work out as we go along. To struggle with the lack of justice we see and the despair we might feel in this week of international news on a Remembrance Day when we can think of so many present conflicts. To wrestle with this, to feel the pain of it, to see the face of it, is an important part of a spiritual journey. Justice in Scripture isn't something we can just capture, hold on, and do. It's something we seek. It's a process, something that needs continual revision and embodiment, a vocation we grow into together. Now, neither the Hebrew Scriptures nor the New Testament give us a foolproof way to do justice. Wouldn't it be good if they did? But actually, there's a thread of stories that are about human failures to do justice and love mercy, and a failure to walk humbly, to use the words of the prophet Micah. And there's a thread of human beings facing the consequences of their choices and the choices of their leaders. And yet, alongside that thread, we also have the thread of grace, of God's continual calling back of his people to walk in the ways of justice, of God working with the people of the world within the mess and reality of different times and spaces and their particularities to learn to do justice. The particularity is important. Wouldn't it be neat if we could say we can just lift this principle out of the text and do it today, apply the Jubilee laws? But of course, Leviticus or parts of Scripture reflect a calling on vocation for a world far different from our own. Reading Scripture can help us shape our journey, notice important trends and principles, but it can't be a substitute for pursuing our own vocation here and now within the world we're part of, to see the faces of those who struggle. Just think of our New Testament reading. It is the face and cry of the widow that motivates action, not a theoretical notion of justice. It is the face of injustice. Thinking from outside, looking at justice in or the struggle for justice elsewhere can help us see things we may not see in our own context, but it can't be a substitute. We need to lament our own failures and the failures of the communities we're part of and descended from, and seek to move together into a future we can't quite imagine yet. The prophet Micah, whom we've read, is often quoted, "Do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with your God." Well, what does that look like in the life of faith? Well, the beginning of justice is probably the ability to notice and to feel. We're very good at noticing the injustices that affect us, aren't we? Anyone in contact with small children will know it doesn't take long for them to learn to start saying, "That's not fair." It takes longer to start to notice something isn't fair on the other person. It takes even longer to inhabit that other person's world enough to even begin to understand what fair might look like. To do justly means to feel the compassion that leads to mercy and to have the humility to acknowledge our limited understanding so that justice can only be pursued together. It cannot be for or instead of others. It has to be done with the other, the one who suffers, the one who stands by, the one we despise or don't want to work with. Justice starts with weeping with those who weep and learning to walk with them. And it only blooms with the humility to know that even our best efforts are limited and flawed. And yet these efforts are part of the journey, the vocation that we have. And ultimately, there probably is no better counsel than what Micah has to say, to do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with our God. Amen.